Well, listen, I want you to know that this sermon is for all of us. We've all had our times where we have had a big fat mouth. I was praying about what series to take us into as a church, and we were wrapping up our Yes and Amen series. Did you like the Yes and Amen series? If you did, would you? I loved it. It was a great series for us. But I was like, Lord, where do you want to take us? And so about a month or two back, I was just praying about it. And I saw this graphic in a series by Pastor Craig Groeschel. And I listened in on some of what he taught. And I like, man, that is so something we all need. And we all need to learn the power of our words and how they affect our life. And so let me show you Proverbs chapter 18, 21. It says, the tongue, or my big fat mouth, has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And so today we're going to take part one of a three-part series on my big fat mouth. And today we're going to talk about complaining, and my sermon title is Complaining Won't Help You. Amen? Hey, look at the person beside you and say to them, my complaining won't help me. Now, I know what you wanted to say. You wanted to say, your complaining won't help me. But I don't have time to deal with all those issues today, so we're going to keep it on yourself, and this is not about your spouse today. This is not about your kids today. This is not about your boss today. This is about my big fat mouth. Amen? So, let's pray. Father, thanks for this day. Lord, your word teaches us that by hearing your word, it increases our faith. And so, Lord, I pray that as we hear your word today, that our faith would grow, we'd become stronger in our walk with you. Lord, I pray that as a church body, we would take this next 30 minutes, really just lean in and say, God, I want to hear what you have. Holy Spirit, we give you right to talk to us today. We give you right to open our hearts to hear what you would want us to know about complaining. And so, Father, we love you. Thank you for our spouses that don't complain, and this is all about us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. So, we're in a good topic today about complaining. When I think about complaining, I take us back to the Old Testament about the Israelites. And the more you learn about the Israelites, you'll really realize that our life kind of reflects their patterns. And so the Israelites, just kind of a quick history on them, these are God's chosen people, and they were made captives, they became slaves of the Egyptians, and for hundreds of years they were in captivity. And during that time, they complained about it. Now, I can't say that I'd blame them, but they were complaining. It's too hot. The food's no good. You know, we got to work too hard. And so they were just complaining and complaining. And so finally, God delivered them, and he did miracle after miracle to set them free. He delivered them. He did like 10 different miraculous plagues to turn Pharaoh's heart. He parted the Red Sea and drowned Pharaoh's army that was coming after them. He fed them from manna from the sky to feed them miraculously. He provided water for them out of a rock. I mean, that's pretty miraculous. Their clothes lasted. They just didn't, you know, wear out. Wouldn't your parents like that if your kids' clothes didn't wear out? Man, it was miraculous. So they were in captivity. They complained. And then you're going to find that as God delivers them, they complain some more. They gripe. They fuss. They complain, both in captivity and out. And this is what we'll find in Exodus chapter 14. It says, the Israelites, they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why'd you make us leave Egypt? How long is it going to take us to get there, Daddy? We've been driving and driving, and I'm hungry, and I don't like this. And verse 12 says, didn't we tell you this would happen while we're in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. Listen, they begged God to deliver them because they were complaining while they're captive, and now they're free and they're complaining again. Listen, complaining isn't about our circumstance. It's mainly about our attitude in the circumstances. In Exodus chapter 16, 2, more about these Israelites, it says the whole community of Israel, everybody say it with me, complained. They complained about Moses and Aaron. They complained, and they complained, and they complained. But to be honest with you, we're all champion complainers, and I may be one of the best of them. I've practiced a long time on my complaining. I can complain about all kinds of things. I can complain about the weather. I can complain about the internet going too slow in the evenings. First world problems. I complain. We all have the ability to complain. I complain about the traffic sometimes. I complain about the service at a restaurant sometimes. I complain about government stuff sometimes. And like just the other day, I was at Lowe's. Now, I love Lowe's. I do. I love Lowe's. I'm a Lowe's fan, Home Depot fan, either one of them. I'll take them. I love them. Lowe's for guys is like Target for women. You know, a woman can go into Target to get some toilet paper and walk out with $300 worth of stuff. Guys can walk into Lowe's to get furnace filters and walk out with $300 worth of stuff. So I was in Lowe's the other day, and it was right after the hurricane, and I was getting furnace filters, and I happened to have some free time that day. I wasn't in any hurry, any pressure. And so I went into Lowe's and I was finding the furnace filters. And I started just walking the aisles. You know, I was like, oh, you know, here's some tools. And I mean, I was looking at hand drills and saw stuff I'm never going to use, you know. But I'm, you know, when you're in there, you're like, you pretend like I'm a dude, you know, I'm going to check this stuff out. And it's back there in the fertilizer for a while. And I mean, I was just hanging out in Lowe's, you know. And finally, wandered around, found the furnace filters, and I made my way up to the checkout line, and there was a long checkout line, and all of a sudden I was like, oh my gosh, why is it so long? I started complaining about the checkout. Now listen, I had all the time in the world, but suddenly I'm impatient because there's a long checkout line. And so finally I picked my line. You know, you got to pick the right line. You find the one that's moving a little quicker because I wanted to find that line. Found the quicker line, and I got there to just to the next to the last person. And this gentleman, I mean, he didn't have much. He had just a little blue little, you know, carry basket. And I thought, this won't take long. Well, I know God loves this person. He was stretching my patience because he had in his basket little individual packs of screws. And he was very excited about all 100 of those. And he started explaining to the checkout worker, I'm going to do this with this one. And she, bloop. I'm going to do this one with this one. Thank you. Bloop. I am internally going, what? I wanted to help them. And like it just went on. And then they got into a conversation like they were best friends. And I'm like, so you know what I did? I gave up. I went to another line. I thought, this line's not moving. So I came over to this other line and started standing there. And it was moving kind of quick. And then it slowed down a bit. And then that one finished. And so then I was like, oh, no. And I had to get in the back of this line. And I was like, oh, my gosh. You know, you don't have to complain out loud to be complaining. And I was complaining and complaining. We all complain. And then this verse pops up, and it just stopped me in my tracks, and maybe it will for you as well. Exodus 16, 8, more about our Israelites, and actually more about me and my big fat mouth, and more about you and your big fat mouth. But it says, Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning, for he has heard all of your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes. Now, this is underlined on the screen, but check this out. Your complaints are against the Lord and not against us. What Moses was saying is you think you're complaining about me. God sees it, you complaining about him. That just flipped the switch right there. I'm like, oh my gosh, my complaining isn't about the circumstances. I'm actually complaining that I don't like where God has me at this moment. Imagine that every time we complain, it's not about the circumstance. It's not about the weather. It's not about the internet, the long lines, government. It's not about our kids. It's not about our spouse. But what if in God's eyes, we are actually complaining about Him and His provision and His plan for our life and His timing and His calling? Perhaps that's the way He sees our complaining. We're not complaining about the circumstance. We're actually, according to Exodus 16:8, we're complaining about the Lord. See, God sees our complaining as our displeasure towards the Lord and where He has us in our life. You see, complaining is the opposite of praising. So praising is when we're like, Lord, You're amazing. Thank You for everything I have. I'm just full of joy and You're amazing. And so we're praising. Complaining is like, God, I don't like everything. I'm a little frustrated right now. There's some problems. And we're focused on the problems and we begin to complain. There's a lot of complaining going on in our culture. Internet, Facebook. I mean, at times you want to just turn off Facebook because you're tired of watching all the complaining. And I really think that it's really hurting our world. I think it's hurting America. I think it hurts us. It hurts our culture when we complain about government. It hurts our culture when we complain about its leaders and our neighbors and our complaining. Our complaining hurts our families. And in some places, not here, I'm not using this as a place of correction, but in some places, people actually complain about their church. And if there's one group of people that shouldn't be complaining, it ought to be the believers. It ought to be Christians. We're the one place that there ought to be a thankful heart inside of us. I'm not saying that we don't have things to complain about. I'm not saying you and I don't have problems that irritate us and problems that are issues in our life. I'm just saying that we have so much more to be thankful for than to complain about. We have a Savior that has saved us, set us free, delivered us. He's empowered us. He's given us a life. We have all our sins forgiven. We have eternal hope. We have a church that loves us. And we have so much to be thankful for. I think the body of Christ has an opportunity to shock the world with our thankfulness. I think it will surprise people when we're in a long checkout line and we start to say, hey, at least it's dry in here. Hey, at least we get to buy something today. I mean, we start shifting our mindset. We start shifting to a thankful heart. I think we can find something that we can count our blessings on. And the best way to reverse our big fat mouth from complaining is to have a big fat thankful mouth. Amen? We can use our words for giving life and be life-giving. I am so thankful. I'm thankful to be here today. I'm thankful it's Sunday. I love Sunday. It's my favorite day of the week. Every time Sunday comes, I'm just a little bit happier just because it's Sunday. I'm thankful you're here. I'm really thankful you're here, to be honest. There was a day that I wasn't sure if anybody was going to be here. You go back 14 years ago when we planted our church. Listen, the first year of our services in our church, we were meeting at Bradley Creek Elementary School, and we ballooned up, like our church, like up to about 15 to 20 people that year. Massive. So as a pastor, I'm at the front doors of the school, Bradley Creek Elementary School. They had these little windows, and I would look out the windows praying, Lord, please let somebody come today. Listen, there were 15 to 20 of us. Our family and the church that helped start the church with us, we added up to about 10 or 11 people. So like there were 4 to 10 other people max coming in. So when you're watching cars, you know, 3 cars can make a difference. And so I'm like, Lord, please. Today, I still pray desperately for you to come, but I don't panic on the backside anymore. Y'all just keep coming. Matter of fact, we just went through a hurricane, and of course, we'd been in the mall, then we came here, and then the hurricane hit, then we didn't have service, then we had 2 services at another church at a different time, and you know what? You all hunted us down. Like, you came to find us. Like, you had to hunt. You're like, hey, people would say, where are we meeting this week? Where are we going to go? What time? We got to find you. We got to come to church. Listen, I love you guys. I'm so thankful for a church that's hungry to come to be in the presence of God. I'm so thankful that First Baptist Church allowed us to rent this building when we had very few other options. I'm so thankful for speakers and lights and a stage and music and a worship team. Man, it's just amazing that we get to do all of this together. I'm thankful for volunteers. I mean, this whole group up here leading worship, volunteering, tech team, you guys are great. And we have people right now in our kids' ministries volunteering. Now, they're dealing with all kinds of things. Most of it's great. You know, kids are great, don't get me wrong. But you know, it's not like getting to sit in here on these chairs and hear an amazing sermon, you know. I don't know what you're laughing at. I'm loving this sermon. It's a great message. But, you know, we're just blessed with people. So we had people that came in and brewed coffee today for us. Like, amen to that. Thankful. There's so much to be thankful about. It's so better to be thankful than to be complaining. Complaining won't help you. Thankfulness will help you. Look at Philippians 4:6. It says, do not be anxious about anything. Now, anxious is like, don't let your emotion begin to control you. Don't be stirred up and don't be complaining about anything, but in every situation. Now, do you know why that little, you know, four words is there, but in every situation? Because it wants you to know that not just the good situations, right? It's like every situation. It's kind of saying you're going to go through some frustrating times. So it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition. And then it says, this is your attitude. With thanksgiving, present your request to God. Like, I think you have to put all of these words together, these verses together. I think you can't, like, separate all this and think that, you know, hey, God's going to answer my prayer if I am not grateful, if I'm not thankful. Let me show you how weird this could look. In Philippians 4:6, same verse, I'm just going to switch out one verse. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with and scratch out thanksgiving, and then put complaining, present your request to God. Now, doesn't that seem silly? Now, just think if you're a parent. Have you ever had kids complain about something? How excited are you about meeting their request when they're complaining? Not very excited. Now, some of us finally give in. But I don't want God to finally give in on me. Like, oh my gosh, Tim is driving me crazy today. All his complaining. He's like, rah, rah. You know, I want God to be like, oh, I want to help you. He's so thankful. You know what I think? This is thus thinketh Tim. But I think the Lord would say this about our complaining. I think he would say, if you're going to complain about it, then don't bother praying about it. That was, like, pretty strong. But, you know, that's what happens. Because the Scripture told us to come to him with thanksgiving, bring our prayers, our request to him with thanksgiving. Listen, God's not in the business of answering complaints. He's not the head of the complaint department at Sears. God answers prayers that are asked in faith with a thankful heart, it teaches us. You see, you cannot complain and pray at the same time. Matter of fact, I believe Scripture teaches us that complaining quenches the Holy Spirit from being able to move in our life and do what He wants to do in our life. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Through 19. It says, rejoice always. So what's that about? It's about praising God. Lord, you're amazing, and praise Him and worship Him, having a great attitude, being happy. Verse 17 says, pray continually. Well, hope you came to the series last month. Then it says what? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. Now just look at this. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, God's will. And then verse 19 says, do not quench the Spirit. In other words, really pay attention to those three verses before you, because if you leave one of those out, you're going to hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Thankfulness increases God's miraculous power in your life. Complaining decreases God's work in your life. Complaining is destructive. And I really think that a lot of people never get to where they want to be in life because they're complaining about where they are right now. And it puts a lid, it puts a stop, it restrains you. You see, complaining is a spiritual issue. I love the funny graphics that we have and the funny bump, and I think you might hear, oh, it's on complaining today, and you might walk out and think, oh, that was just a nice, topic. But the reality is that complaining is a spiritual problem in our life, because when we complain, it hinders God from being able to help us. And for me, I'm going to just make a decision in the midst of this message today, but I'm going to make a fresh commitment to do everything I can to use my big fat mouth to be thankful and grateful, because I want to see God do more in my life, more in my family, and more in my church. So I want to get my mouth in line, right? Amen? So, if you have something to complain about, I want to give you two things, two options. If you're taking notes, the first one is change your circumstance. Like, fix the problem. If there's something bugging you, can you work on it? If it's bothering you and there's something you can do about it, change it. Change the circumstances. Change the problem. Too many people just complain about stuff but aren't willing to do anything about it. We call them armchair quarterbacks. Coach should have done this while you sit on the couch and I eat Doritos, banana pudding. Hey, just FYI, all you amazing ladies that bring me food, I'm on a diet. I am. Do you know, this is total sidebar, do you know I weighed myself Monday? I weighed more Monday than I've ever weighed my entire life. Thank you to the hurricane and all my neighbors and friends and banana puddings. And so we're working on it. And listen, if you don't like your circumstances, then change it. If you've gained too much weight, then put the banana pudding outside. Throw it away, Don't complain about it. It's not the scales' fault. Wouldn't that be crazy? Like, I'm staying on the scales. Dumb scales. What's wrong with you? Tell me I weighed all of that. Complaining. It is inactivity because you can sit on the couch and do it. But it still requires energy. It still takes up some capacity in your brain. And I'm just of the opinion that rather than like just sitting and complaining, why not use that energy to do something about it? Here's a verse about the Israelites in Psalms 106. It says that they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe in the promise. And so what did they do? They grumbled in their tents and they did not obey the Lord. So God had a great future for them. They didn't like it, though. They're complaining, complain, complain, complain. So what did they do? They pitched their tents. They got inside with their family and said, it's too hot here. Too much sand. Came to the beach and now sand's all in the car. I don't like the food here. Need some other kind of food. We need something besides manna. We need something besides this miraculous, perfectly made sweet bread to eat. They were, it's just like us. Listen, how many of you all have sat in your living room, in your tent, with your family, and began a good gripe session and complaining about stuff and complaining about your neighbors and complaining about all, we can do it. You might even have a small group. You're like, come into my tent. I'm going to complain about all kinds of things, and I need you to agree with me. Because when we're in agreement, that's what we do as believers. When we're in agreement, like that's it tells us. So agree with my complaining. It'd be great. And so they were in their tents. And God had this promise for them. They're like, he's like, hey, just obey me. Move forward. Get up and do something. Instead, they sat in their tents and complained. Too many people sit on their rears and complain when they need to stand on their feet and make a difference. Maybe the complaint you have is actually God pointing out a holy discontent in your life, and he's giving you a ministry or mission or a voice to do something about it. Our family this week went and watched a movie called Gosnell. Gosnell is about an abortion doctor that had just so many reasons why it was awful. And the movie was exposing the abortion industry some. And so it was a hard movie to watch, to be honest with you, to see it. But it was a great story because it brought a new passion, at least in our family, about how destructive and honestly the evil side of abortion. Now, I say that knowing that it's a touchy subject. I know it's a sensitive area. But you know what? It's still something that as believers we need to look at, we need to think about, we need to find our position on it. And I believe God teaches us that we're all about life. And so when I watched that movie, I had a holy discontent about that. And I thought, you know, the Lord was sparking me to be a little courageous in this area for our church and just to bring it up. Now, if you've been through an abortion, there's no guilt, there's no shame, because God is so gracious and Jesus covers everything. The blood of Jesus is beautiful, so you don't have to sit here condemned. But you can relate and say, you know what? There's a better way. And so maybe the thing that you're seeing as a complaint is a holy discontent. Martin Luther King Jr., he had a complaint about racism. Instead of just getting in his tent and complaining, he got on his feet and he stood and he made a difference in our nation. Amen? That's a good clap moment. You can have a holy discontent. So maybe God's using it. Maybe if you're in debt in your life, instead of complaining about your finances, maybe you say, God, how do I find a way to get out of debt? Maybe if your marriage is struggling, instead of complaining about your wife or your husband, maybe say, God, what can I do? What can you do through me to help it get better? If you can, change your circumstances. And if you can't, and granted, there are some things you can try and try and try, and you're not going to make a difference in it. Maybe you can't change jobs right now. I get it. Maybe you've worked on your marriage and it just hasn't gotten any better. Maybe your sickness or your pain just hasn't improved as much as you prayed and tried. Maybe there's things in politics that aren't going your way. Here's what I want you to write this down. If you cannot change your circumstances, then change your perspective. So change your circumstances, point two. Change your words. Change my big fat mouth. Amen? Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt word out of your mouth. But, so he's like, you got to do something different. Like, don't let negativity, don't let your complaining come out of your mouth. But, and so he's like, here's what to do. Say with your mouth what is good for necessary edification. Edification is a nice word that means to build up or to encourage. So in other words, don't complain, but use your mouth to encourage and to make a difference with your mouth. There's power in your mouth for life or for death, and you can use it. So I took this verse and I wrote out my prayer. This is my prayer around this verse. Now, it doesn't have to be your prayer. It should be, but it doesn't have to be. And so I'm going to tell you my prayer. And if I were you, which I'm not you, but I'm really highly recommending that you think about this, this is my prayer. Dear God, help me to not let any negative and complaining words come out of my big fat mouth, but instead help me to use my words for good and to encourage those around me. If you can't change your situation, then begin to find as many things in it to be thankful for as you can. Because words of gratitude, that's going to change your perspective when you begin to be thankful. And it's going to release God to be able to do more in your life. So let me put it in a real fun way. And I'm going to let you know that first service, I have to say this so it doesn't sound complaining, all right, because I'm not complaining. But first service didn't, like, really appreciate this verse, this what I'm getting ready to say, to the level that I thought they would. And so I'm not complaining about them. But I want you to appreciate this because I like things to rhyme, and so this is your Tim Blevins-ism. But complaining is restraining, and it hinders God's work in your life, and praising is raising you out of your problems in life. You just became my favorite, most thankful service of the day. Don't tell first service that. They were great. I'm so thankful. I'm kidding with you. I love it. Love it. Complaining. Hey, you know another one. Complaining is draining on the people around you. No doubt. Oh, thank you. Well, I love you all. Say this with me. My complaining won't help me. Amen. I'm going to take us into a moment to respond to that. And I want to say to you before I do, I mentioned about, you know, people complaining about church. And honestly, I never, and I mean, I can't even tell you the last time I heard anyone complain. You're an amazing church. And we've been through a lot, and we've probably had some opportunities for you to be frustrated at something. And we're far from a perfect church. Oh, my gosh. If you want to know all the ways we're not perfect, I can take you to coffee and give you 50 in a hurry. But I love you. And really, you're a grateful-hearted church. And one of the reasons I think that we're a great worshiping church is because you really are a thankful church. And the more you can really grasp how good Jesus is, the more you'll worship Him. And so I think that's one of the reasons when we have worship, it's contagious in here. It's a great atmosphere. And so I just want you to know I love you, and I'm so thankful for you, and I love the way you all respond to you know, everything that God does here. So just want to throw that in there before I prayed with you. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, we come together as a church body, and we understand that Proverbs 18:21 says that the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And God, I pray that at this moment we would have a new awareness about our mouth and the things we say. I pray, Lord, that we would leave this service with a new decision, a new commitment to really speak words of life and be positive and be encouraging. With your heads bowed here, though, would you just take this moment and maybe would you just respond to that, to the Lord, and say, God, in some way, whatever it is in your words, how do you want to respond to this message today? Maybe just say, God, I want to make a new commitment. Would you help me? Maybe you want to say to the Lord, hey, I know I've really been complaining negative lately. Would you forgive me for that? Would you help me to turn that around and be positive? Now, would you just, in your own words, ask the Holy Spirit to help you this week? Help you to not have a mouth that speaks complaining words and things that are hurting ourselves and our families and others. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 I like to close our services every week with an opportunity for you to make a fresh commitment with the Lord. Or if you've never made a decision to follow Christ, I want to give you that opportunity today. I believe that Jesus came to earth to point us to the Father. But sin holds us back from being able to get to Him. It separates us. And so the Bible teaches us that Jesus died on the cross for our sin. In other words, He took the punishment that we deserved for our sin so that we can be totally forgiven and have a relationship with the Father. And today is a day that you can make a decision. Say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to believe in Jesus for my salvation. And you can have a brand new life in Him. And so I'm going to ask us one more time to bow our heads. Just allow me to kind of lead you through a little prayer together. But maybe you might ask the Lord real quick in your own words, am I where I need to be with You, Lord? Just consider your place. Is your walk with God fresh? Maybe you could look back and you'd think, I haven't read my Bible in 3 months. And you know what? There's grace for that today. Maybe you haven't been in church in a long time and you're like, Lord, would You forgive me? And there's grace for that. Listen, God's desire is for you to be close to Him. This is that moment you can just say, God, I want to be close to You. It's good. He's there. And if you've never made a decision to follow Christ, I'm getting ready to say a prayer together. And this can be your moment to believe on Jesus for your salvation. And you can be part of the family of God. And so we're going to say this all out loud together. Everybody join me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Jesus. He died for my sins. He rose from the grave. And now all of my sins are forgiven. Fill me with Your Holy Spirit so that I can live for You and make a difference with my life. In Jesus' name. Amen, church. Amen. Would you just give Jesus a hand? Awesome, awesome. Yeah, well, church, I love you.